Well, I desire your prayers this morning. I ran into a phrase this last week that I want to talk a little bit about this morning. A humble dependence upon God. We, as humans, endeavor to understand God. I think that's the purpose that we have of coming to service, reading our Bibles, those kind of things. It helps us know who we are, one another. It helps us to know what humanity is. But we endeavor to know about what God is. And there's some characteristics of God that's very, very important for us to always have and hold the views and hold the idea of what God is. And to me, the number one quality that I have to keep to be successful living for God, I have to believe it of Him with all my heart. If I don't believe it and continue to believe it all the time, I'm going to be disappointed. Things are going to not make sense to me. The thing that is to me is the most important quality of God is that He loves me. The essence of our belief is that God is love. That God loves me. And because I'm going to tell you, for me to say that there is a God, the God that we believe in, that is in control of everything and has made everything and is in control of everything, in my finite belief of things and understanding of things, I wouldn't do me the way God does. Listen, get me right. We talked about murmuring today, and I remember sometimes in my life too, to where I questioned God, though I know He was disappointed. I said audibly one time, if I was God, I wouldn't do you this way. It was the way I was thinking. I don't want to sound blasphemous. I'm sounding real in my humanity. As I look to my children, I don't want any harm in them. I don't want them to hurt, suffer. I don't want them to have a bad experience about anything. Do you? You don't, do you? And what I'm saying is that my love and understanding of things is limited. It's so limited, it puts me into a place to where I wouldn't allow any harm or suffering to come to my children. I have to believe, you have to believe, that God loves you. And the other attributes of God is that we have to believe is, you ever have a little child, your little child say to you, well, not you women would, but, Daddy, I'll do that for you. I don't doubt it a bit that they mean it. They love Daddy and they would do it. And no, that's okay. You know, I know you can't do it. We have to know God can do it. God's love for us and God's will for us really needs to be unquestioned in our faith. Because there's going to be things that happen in life sometimes that we're going to really be challenged by. How is this good? How, if God is running this, how do I benefit from this? How does anything happen good with all of this? And if we're not careful, it will challenge. What I have to come back to is that no matter what, how I can line this all up and get this all right, my faith is that God loves me. And that Jesus died for me and gave Himself for me, and because He did, I can know for a surety that this that's happening to me is right when it don't look like it's right. God is not only perfect in His love towards you, but He's perfect in His ability to do it. You don't have to worry about it being unable for Him to fulfill something about our lives. He can do that. His desire is to do that. But we have a part to play in it. That we have a humble dependence upon God. That we're not arrogant about it, and we're not self-sufficient about it. You can be humble, but yet somewhat self-sufficient, but that we be neither arrogant or proud. We had in Sunday school this morning about a people that got to the point that their arrogancy shined out. They said to God in this, "Where are you at?" They believed God or they wouldn't ask the question. Do you know what they was really saying to God? "You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong." That's what the statement was. That's why God was bothered by it. They're saying to God, "You're doing it wrong. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, my children. I'm not doing it wrong. I know you better than you know you. I'm trying to bring you to a expected end, and you're fighting me for trying to do that. You want change in your life. You want to be what God wants you to be. You want to make heaven to the end of life. It's going to take God guiding you, leading and guiding you to get there." So, in our place, the place that we all need to come to, not theoretically, yes, theoretically, but not only theoretically, that's a good idea that you heard on Sunday morning. But what I'm talking about is the experimental part of it, to where we put this in our lives. The incidents that happens, we humbly depend on God. We humble ourselves down to say, "Lord, I know that You know better about this. And I'm going to depend on You to be able to do this, and not in my own strength or ability. But I'm going to give it over to God." That we humbly depend on God. I want to look at a scripture in Ecclesiastes. The 11th verse. I'm going to look at the 11th and 12th verse, but I just want to comment on the 10th verse to get the balance of the things here. The 10th verse of the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes says, "Whatsoever the hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." In other words, he's looking at life and saying, what you have to do, do it with all your might, because this is the only place you have to do it with. You'll do well to do, put your hand to something. When you believe in something, you do something, do it. That's one side of it. To say that you should do all that you can do. Isn't that true? Don't we recognize that if you're going to accomplish something that you put everything into it? So he gives us one side of the spectrum. When you do something, put your heart, mind, soul into it, put your hand to it. Don't do it indifferently or haphazardly, or you sow sparingly and you will reap sparingly. That is a truth that we can all understand. But he goes on to give another side to the idea. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor yet riches of men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all." Now here's what the idea is. We need to humbly depend on God because He's in control of everything. And when we throw ourselves into the arena of of God's purpose. And we say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. He's going to be faithful to you. And there's going to be races that you run that you're the fastest one. And He ain't going to let you win. There's going to be times that you're going to put your hand to something that you're capable of doing. And you ain't going to do it. There's going to be times that you have the mental capacity to make the right decisions to bring wealth into your life. Oh, but He's got a storm between you and it. And we will fuss and kick and stomp. Why does it get to happen to others? Why is so-and-so successful and I'm not successful? Because God loves you. If you can take it, because God loves you. You know, it's a little bitty, and I don't know the information. I wish I knew more about it. But there was a little dilly in the news. I think it happened back about Monday. There was a famous race. It was the Daytona 500. I don't know if anybody hears about that, but they've been running that race for all my life, I guess. They've been running that race. And I think I got the story close enough, and you help me out if I don't get the story. But there was a guy that was winning that race. And you know, I believe I heard that he crossed the finish line on his top. Who could have ever thought? I believe he was ahead, wasn't he? He didn't have far to go to win. That's all you do. You're going to win. Is the race not to the swift? Is the race not to the guy that drove ahead the laps? Was it not the guy that's doing it? Yeah, all of that's the way we think about it happening. But it says time and chance. And when it says that, it isn't trying to throw this out there into some kind of a roll of a dice. That's not what this scripture is referring to. It sounds like it, but that's not what he's trying to say. He said time and opportunity has been put in there to everything, but you cannot dictate how the end of a matter is going to be. You can't figure out how the end of the matter is going to be on those kind of things. Do you know that somebody that's faster than everybody else by a good bit, it's really, really hard for them to be as charged up about it as somebody that's not quite as fast? It's true. You know, remember the old children's thing about the rabbit or the hare and the tortoise? They didn't just draw that off of nothing. There's a human lesson in that. A rabbit's fleet, fast, can go, and a turtle's extremely slow. The rabbit could literally run circles around the turtle all the way to the finish line and still win. So why run hard? Oh, there's elements involved in all of this then. The race is not always to the swift just by our own doing. But there's a lot of other things involved in this idea of how we get through life and what we do. And I look at it and say, I'm capable. I'll ask you something. Does the person that deserves the most honor always get the most honor in life? Do you ever notice that somebody that's foul-mouthed, joke, comedian, nasty, sometimes will be elevated up in people's thoughts and opinions? And somebody that lives really noble, honorable, honest, straight, are persecuted? That's what the scripture is kind of referring to. Does somebody that's good always get the right honor? No. Does the person of understanding about the stock market already make the best deals and he always comes out on head, right? No. Does the wise man, he's the one that eats the best food, right? The strong man wins every battle. And the fast guy wins every race. No. It doesn't work that way at all. Because there's a God. And what our purpose ought to be in that. What you find to do it with all your might. give your heart and mind to it. But always remember this. There is a God in heaven. There is a God to trust in, to depend in, to where we can honestly say, and can we honestly say, Lord, if my ruination of my spiritual life is hinged on this wealth, would you keep me from it? Can we honestly say, Lord, to God, help me not to win the race if it's bad for me? I always want to win the race or I wouldn't run. But if it's the bad thing, to humbly, when those things come into life and you're about to step across the finish line and somebody bolts ahead of you or the ankle sprains or that something happens that just now you just lost, there should be a thanksgiving in the mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm depending on you. It says, for man also knoweth not his time. Now this time that man does not always know about is certainly the end of his life. But it ain't altogether contextual that that's all this is talking about. He's talking about that he doesn't know the time that the evil day will hit him. You don't know what's going to lay you flat on your back. You don't know. Most everybody in here would probably thinks they're of a sound mind. You know, I used to think that and was never worried about not having a sound mind. I always felt like I had an ability of rational thought, of deductive thought, was able to reason. And you know, several years ago, I went through an incident in my life till I wondered whether I was going to hold up or not, of a mental breakdown. And I always was sound of mind, but the Lord allowed me to go through things that started getting me there, and I had to say that I learned something, that there's a very fine line between sanity and insanity. There's a very fine line for us in how well we think our minds will sustain us and help us. And is there anyone here willing to raise your hand and say, I'll never get into a place like that? That's what I thought. And the Lord brought me right to the brink of nervous breakdown. And then, I still remember where I was at on Desert Fork and a rock in the middle of the river. Where I just poured out to God. And the Lord touched me right there in my mind. And the Lord touched me in my mind. The Scripture says that a man really doesn't know, does he? For a man knoweth not his time. Listen to this. It's really an interesting scripture. As the fishes are taken in an evil net, and as the birds are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Now, it doesn't sound like that evil time is talking about the end of life. It's talking about something that is very harmful, seemingly harmful to your life. But get the picture that the writer has. How do you get the fish for the net? I went out fishing shrimping. I went out shrimping a number of times with Brother Tommy Platt. And what they do, they have nets. They throw nets. And he stick one in his teeth so it holds it out. And he take that net and he throw it out and it spreads out into a big web. You get different size nets depending on how good you are at throwing them. They go out there and they would set poles, these big long poles. As the tide's moving back out, the shrimp are coming out of the grasses and stuff and coming back out into the more open water. And what they do is that you never know where you're at out there if you don't have a marker. So they have these poles that they put together and they go out and they mark places along. every 25 feet apart or whatever. And then they'd take clay. They just had bags of dry clay, and he put it in a bucket with some water, and they had meal. All this meal, and they put the meal in there with the clay and make balls about this big around of clay and meal. And they would drop these so many feet from the marker poles. They know they were so many feet in front of the marker poles. And they'd have 8 or 10 marker poles, and you throw out these big, that, and that's called bait. And what it's for is to get the shrimp in the proper location for the net to fall. This scripture says, for man also knoweth not his time as the fish. So, he's referring to us going through life and being baited into locations. We're baited. You know what we're baited by? Success. We're baited by the world. Lured in. Lured in to locations. And when you get there, it's going to fall and you're not going to even be aware. That doesn't look harmful or bad. You know, our safest place is to humbly depend upon God for the substance of our lives. Humbly believing in God, letting God lead us in our lives. When anything we do, we usually put our heart to it. Oh, but it's dangerous to put your heart to things. I'd never get upset if I never cared. Would you? I know a guy one time that got so involved in mountaineer sports that when they lost the national championship, Bernie Stuff. He cared. It bothered him. It hurt. Didn't hurt me. I tell a lot of people that's brutal. It's brutal to put your heart in that kind of stuff because it always will disappoint you sooner or later. Well, the idea is when we went shrimping, you put the balls, the stuff out there, and then as the shrimp moves back out, then you start and you throw a net over them. You pull that draw net and pull it up, and you got a whole big load of shrimp. Theoretically, it's the way it works. That's what we did. He put and have all these shrimp, and all the shrimp was doing what shrimp does, and he was eating where they could eat, and he lured them in, and he baited them in, and that's what the old devil tries to do with success, money, fame, things of this life. He tries to lure us into a position of great disappointment and hurt. And you never know when that's going to befall us. It's why that it is so valuable. It's so victorious when we surrender ourselves to God and humbly depend on Him. It doesn't mean we don't work and put our hand with all our might. That's the side we give. But we have full dependence on God for outcomes of things. Because I don't know what's best for myself. Ask the bird. What do you do with the birds there at home? We do the same things. You know, it don't take long for birds. I don't know how they know it. I don't know if they talk to each other. Surely body language. They have to hear one another or watch one another. Because you can put out a feeder at our house. And or we got feeders, and you not feed them for a long time, and you look out there after you've not fed for a while, and there's no birds. You know how fast it takes birds, how quick they find out their seed in the feeder? You can do it in just hours. They'll be by, and I know one bird comes by and looks. And when one comes by, it probably comes by and looks, and probably another sees him, and he chirps, and here comes some others, and before long, all kind of different birds are out by the feeder. Well, the bird's caught in the net, in the snare. And what's he lured in by? Food. Something lures them in to this situation. There's a famous story. I don't know all the details of the accuracy about it, but it is a famous historical story. There was some people one time that got together and they built a very luxurious ocean liner. And this thing this thing was well built. They called it the Titanic. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Titanic before. Probably everybody in here that's very old have heard of the Titanic because it is a very famous story. Had nothing happened to it, it would have never been known. But if you was going to build a ship, would you not try to build it? I say, put all your might to it. If you was going to build a ship that was going to go through the North Atlantic, through the icebergs and all that, wouldn't you want to build the ship that it could withstand hitting an iceberg? Well, of course you would. And they did. They built it to the best specs they could and best understanding they had of such things like that. And they built this ship and they put their whole might to it and they built a ship that they ended up saying, God can't sink. Well, now whether they really said that or not, I can't say. I've heard that before. I mean, there was a guy, set aside, there was a guy over at home that had a number of wrecks, and during the years that I grew up as a child, laws were different back then, and there wasn't drunk driving laws and all that kind of stuff, and there was a number of wrecks that he was in where people died, and he liked fast cars and was always building fast cars, and I remember he built his last fast car, and when he mentioned about this car, I remember what was told to us about what his statement was. Somebody said to him, Fuzz, you better be careful, that's awful fast. And he shook his head and said, no, this one's faster than the Word of God. That was his statement. What a blasphemous thing to say. This car is faster than the Word of God. Him and his sons died just on Route 20 above where we lived on a head-on crash. And it was not faster than the Word of God. But the proclamation was made. The idea was there. The arrogancy, the pride of people was there. And I say it's better to live humbly dependent upon God for everything. Lord, we're depending on you. We're not going to try to do it by ourselves. The Titanic sailed. And no doubt many people was on the maiden voyage and it had its claims that we don't have to worry about icebergs. I'd say build a ship that would withstand the best, hardest hit of an iceberg if you can, and then humble yourself. Humble yourself and be afraid of icebergs. Humble yourself before God and be afraid of God. Humble yourself down and realize that the race is not always to the swift. Somebody can pull the cork on you. Something can happen. Things unforeseen. Do you know everything? Well, it's not safe to trust myself. It's not safe for you to trust yourself this morning. It's why we should humble ourselves and allow God in our daily work. Humble ourselves and be dependent on God humbly in our daily work. Well, I know better than everybody else how to do this. Humble yourself before God because you're a perfect candidate for failure. And you don't know when the evil net's going to catch you in something like that and you're going to think something's there and it's not like that at all. I'm such a good driver, can't happen to me. Well, you know, I'm not such a good driver, so I'm not going to claim that I am, but I'm going to tell you, I have a fear in my heart to go and do anything. I say, Lord, help us. Help us. I may think I'm a good driver and I can be alert and I can do everything to do it. Not everybody out there is a good driver, even if I would be, and I make my mistakes. But you see what I'm saying? It's humbly depend on God for our life, for what happens into our life. God can make something of nothing and nothing of something. God can change what looks like it is the greatest thing to nothing. And He can take the things that don't look like they're any good at all and change them into something that's very valuable. We can look at and say, I'm going to tell you, God controls the weather. We almost lose sight of that sometimes. We really do. We got so much insight on it now. We see it so much. We can dictate it, and we can not dictate it, but we can predict it. We can see it. We now they know what actually forms. This is amazing to me. They do it a lot out in Oklahoma. They actually can predict the systems and tell you when and where a storm's going to start. And the system will come together, and if you watch it on radar, there'll be a cloud start. And it'll get bigger and bigger, and the storm will start, and then they'll tell you about the way it's going to go. And we'll look at that sometimes, and we think somehow or another that we're in somehow control. God still dictates the weather. Just because we sees what He's doing. But you know, He can change that anytime He wants to. Our duty in living for God is to humbly depend on Him. There's so much can happen in life, and so much that can take us down. So much that can discourage us, disappoint us. I'm so glad this morning for the times that I was veering off track, that God stopped and took time and sent something and done something to change that course so that I could get back in track. And He's done it over and over again. And through the Scriptures, we can read over and over and look at the examples that God gave us where we would say, "What are You doing, Lord?" He gave us examples of Scripture. So let's look at them a little bit as we humbly learn to humbly depend upon God in our life. Job was such an example. Job has gone along with the fear of God in his heart. It's good. And things started happening in his life. And you look at that sometimes and say, if the whole story of Job wasn't there, it'd be bothersome. Because here's somebody that's living for God, and things start changing for him, and all this he has to go through in life. But it's a great challenge to me, because we talk about murmuring. I can get there. I'll just tell you, I can get there. But he didn't charge God foolishly. God gave, and God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Humbly, just humbly depending on God. Should a man praise the Lord for good and not for evil? Should I thank God because the day's sunny and not when it rains? Should I thank God for when money comes in but when it don't go out? Or should I thank God for the blessings of life but not for the... No, that's not believing what God really is. God loves us and cares for us and is working on our behalf with all of it. And we humbly depend upon God for the direction, for what He's going to do. Is anybody in here willing to say, "I won't take that trial that'll get me to heaven"? I know it'll get me to heaven. If I was to say to you, "This is what the Lord says, this is what's going to get you there," and you'd say, "No." Well, Lord, what is it going to take? How are we going to do there? Job was one example of a person that went through the things in his life. Wasn't pleasant, was harmful. How do you make sense of that? We've had some experience with bulls around our house, and I couldn't imagine having... I used to have them, so I can't imagine, but I'm going to say, I only had them a few at a time. One or two at a time. I think I had two at a time. But I couldn't imagine having them all over you like that. What's that about? He's a man of God. Humbly dependent on God. Does that shake your faith? Is that going to shake your faith to say, "I'm going to have to go through that"? So what is God? Are you there? What are you doing? God loves you. That has to be foundational. Lord, I know you love me. Things are happening. I know you love me. I know that what is happening to me is from the loving heart of God. It has to be. Folks, it has to be. You're going to fail if it's not. You're never going to stay in it. You're never going to get out of it. We have some things that are hard for us sometimes. The Lockhart family, I've known them. I've stayed in the same home with them, been in meetings with them all over. I know them and know their children and know all that. And they went through this time. They lost a child. That's time to try to get your mind back right and deal with that and make sure that you got it right. And they get to be in a prison cell to figure it out. Lord, we could say, I know His love ain't challenged in that. God loves them. It may be beyond my human understanding, but I have to believe. Jesus' love is extending. He's doing something that maybe only eternity will let us know. But something's valuable. So where you say, well, it's sunshining out there today and I have no health problems and I feel real good and I'm going to go eat a big lunch and I'll humbly depend on God. Yeah, for the next hours anyway, I'm going to humbly depend on God. It's going to get a lot more serious than that. There was people that didn't fare so well. Job was one that fared well. He got a little murmury, though. You read the whole thing. He got a little bit, and the Lord had to come and say, where was you when I built the world? Where was you at when I made the whales and the elephants and all? If I was hungry, would I ask you for something to eat? No, Lord, no, no, no. I wasn't there, none of that. Well, let's get it right then. I'm God and you're not. Let's get it back in the right place. What I have done for you is what is best for you. Job could testify at the end of it, come forth as pure gold. What God did worked. So whatever God is doing in these situations worked. But there was some that should have humbled themselves and depended on God that didn't. One that comes in my mind particularly was King Saul. Saul was a humble man when he was chosen. He was chosen to be king, and he was a humble man when he did, but he let things go, and he didn't stay humble. He depended before God. He should have said in all these places, and all of a sudden you come up to a place and there needs to be a sacrifice made, and going to go to war, and the man of God's not here, and you know what he should have done? He should have humbled himself and depended on God. Lord, if I'm supposed to go to battle with sacrifice, then you're going to have to provide one. Like he did for Abraham when he went up there and Isaac says, Father, where's the sacrifice? The Lord will provide one. Humbly. God's got this in control. And if I really need to make a sacrifice, there'll be one. God's going to provide one. He's not going to let me go undone and say, oops, I forgot on that one. I was sleeping and I didn't see that one. No, that's not God. God's going to take care of it. So Saul comes down and the sacrifice needs to be made. Man of God ain't there. And I'll make it myself. You know you ain't supposed to do that. But he done it anyway. He done it rebellious and arrogant and proud. You know, God wanted to lead Saul just like he wanted to lead everybody. He didn't humble himself. He didn't depend on God. He didn't wait on God to bring into his life what he needed into his life. He didn't accept the failures that happened in life. He didn't accept the obstacles. He didn't accept the persecutions or he didn't accept the things and all those things that comes into our life. Folks, this is not a perfect world. Things are going to happen all the time. More things you have, more tear up. The more you do, the more problems you're going to have with what you do. It's just the way it is. Humbly depend on God for these things. Lord, this is what's really important. Saul failed it. Others have failed it, down on it. But my little message today is don't let this be some theoretical thing. This is this is something that's to be applied in our lives. I mean, I know some about some of our business around here and some of the things that happen, some of the difficulties that we can have, some of the family issues or some of the community issues or whatever those things say, and there isn't one of them that isn't better served by humbly depending on God. Humbly depending on God for these answers. I don't have to know every answer, but I am required to humbly depend on God. I don't know what it is, but I know that God can bring in to this situation at the right time and the right place when we don't even know when the right time or what to do is. God can bring into that right time to just depend on Him. And if you look at the voyage of Paul and the journeyings of Paul, you'll find out through his life. From the time basically he said, he come into the scriptures and you know that Paul and kicking against the prick and Lord, what would you have me to do? And from the time of that he put his life on into the Lord's hand, he began to humbly depend on God. So the ship's gonna wreck. It's gonna sink. Or we're gonna go through this storm. And the aunt comes and tells him, stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Let's humbly depend on God. Get us through this. God is God enough to get us through it. Go up and get bit by a snake. What are you going to do? Depending on God right there on that. Going to go up before Caesar. Going to depend on God to get me through that. What am I to say? Don't even ponder it. Just humbly depend on God to help through those issues of life. My loved one's not saved. Humbly depending on God. I need something to change about my life. Humbly depending on God. Why am I who I am at the place I am? Humbly depending on God. Being convinced God loves me and He's able. God loves me and He's able. God loves me and He's able to do whatever I need to bring into that. Not one promise, not one has failed. And yours is not going to be the first one. Not one time has He faltered or failed in that. And our place is to humbly depend on God that He would be able to do it. And again, I want to balance it. That doesn't mean I go up there and sit in my chair with my legs crossed and say, just wait and I don't do nothing. Well, the grass need cut. I'm going to depend on God and send somebody to do it. No, it's not. That's not what it is. What you do, do it with all. What your hand finds to do, do it. But know this. When you go out there to cut that grass, you might get halfway through when that mower breaks. You can still depend on God. Don't be so arrogant and high-minded to think that you're going to do it because you can. No, I'm going to do what I can and believe God's able to help me. In every aspect of my life, God is able to help me to be able to get through it. I can take off from here to a couple of weeks. We plan to go out to Oklahoma. And when we get in the driveway, a rare case is that we don't ask the Lord to help us go, because I'm always mindful it's a long ways out there. And there's a lot that can happen. In the course of a day, course of a time, there's a lot happening. And that brings us to the mind. But you know, every morning when you wake up, there's a lot of minutes in the day, ain't there? There's a lot of time in it all. There's a lot of time all through the day. There's a lot of time. God wants to be real in our lives. And He wants to be God. And He wants subjects. He wants His children to humbly depend on Him to be able to make the decisions in their life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.